Blog Talk Radio.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down.
5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Daddy, working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
And yes, here we are at Carl's Cavern, digging for coal. And boy, we're going to dig for some diamonds today, because we're going to do a deep dive into Joe Jackson, which is one of my favorite musicians. And along with me today as my co-host, as opposed to when I'm his co-host, is TC. Thanks for doing this with me, TC.
Hey, buddy. This is, I know you've been waiting a long time for this. And
yeah.
I'm proud to be part of it. And I'm ready to go down that coal mine with you, buddy.
Okay. Well, make sure we have the parakeet. Okay. So,
yeah.
Exactly. So, I, as I was going through this, I went through like 60 songs, and I took well over a week and a half to try to come up with a representative playlist. And what I thought I would do for the first song is to do one of his latest songs. It's a remake of a TV series theme from the 50s and 60s written by Henry Mancini. And this is the theme to Peter Gunn, and I will also mention the lyrics that you hear were written by Joe Jackson. So we're going to start with Peter Gunn, and this is Joe Jackson.
This is the last time.
When I first heard that, I went, holy shit. Seriously, because that had been covered by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer and a bunch of other people, but none really got that jazz element that he brings into this. It's amazing.
It's really close to the vest of how Henry Mancini meant the song to be, but for him to add lyrics, especially like blow-off lyrics, you know, like telling a chick goodbye, it was just, you know, it's incredible because, you know, I'm a big Emerson, Lake, and Palmer fan. You brought them up. They do a great job, you know, of a full orchestration type song, but I think Joe Jackson stuck to the jazz feeling of that song that I think Henry Mancini was originally, you know, I mean, that was his intention. So great cover.
And, you know, a couple of things I want to mention about that too. You know, I know you love your guitars, but I'm a keyboard player. And I think that Joe Jackson as a keyboard player, whether it be on the Hammond that he was doing it there or on the piano or whatever, he's very underrated. And you'll hear more of him. Also, I want to bring up, this won't be the first time you hear this name, but the bass player is Graham Mabey. Graham's been with him on and off since 1979, the first album, Look Sharp. And I think he's one of the most underrated bass players out there. But you'll hear more as we go on.
Yeah, and I think the bass line really made that song. I mean, he kept it going all the way through there. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I mean, it's just fantastic. Fantastic. Well, that was a good grabber. You know, we call it a grabber.
That's
the first song that grabs you. So, great
job. So the next two songs we're doing are connected. Okay, so Joe Jackson spent a lot of his time in New York. And I actually have a story. We'll come up later, a little later. But he did two albums. He did Night and Day, and he did Night and Day 2 in the 90s. Okay? And this is his – you know, one of the things about Joe is he's kind of pissed off, and he's not really happy about things at times. And so this is – these next two songs – are sort of his feelings about New York at the time. We're going to start with the first one, which is from Night and Day 1, 1982, and that is Target. And we're going to start with that here. And one of the things you'll notice is one of the things I loved about him from the beginning, this is an angry, pissed-off guy, and I like that. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah, sure is.
Oh, without a doubt. Okay, here we go. So on this album and also Night and Day 2, the songs blend into each other. So there, you got to sort of stop there. So that's why we did that. Of course, the Latin beat, and I'm going to mention a particular pianist from the 50s, Perez Prado, who he definitely studied, without a doubt, because that's a definite Perez Prado riff that he was doing there on the piano. And enter Suha Jopalus, our wonderful, wonderful percussionist that's worked with him for many, many years. They finally, I think the last she worked with him was 2012. She's doing other things now. But she's tremendous. She's something. And if you see some of the live videos of her, it's amazing. And just to give you an idea, she's worked with Simple Minds, Laurie Anderson, David Byrne, They Might Be Giants, along with what she's done with Joe Jackson.
That's an impressive list.
So anyway, what do you think?
That was an impressive list right there. You know, the first time I heard that song, Carl, I was thinking, what style was that? And I was thinking, that's a Frank Zappa song. I mean, it seemed like it had the tempo changes and everything that Frank, I could see Frank Zappa doing that song, other than the angry part. Yeah.
Well,
but
the thing is, I like artists that experiment, that go different places that you don't expect. And certainly that's true of Zappa. That's true of Joe Jackson, too, as we'll see. The next song is quite different than what we just listened to. But I don't see Zappa doing this song because it's set in one style. You know, Zappa loves to throw his Zappa-isms in. And as you said, Joe Jackson is more, you know, studios and wants to do the songs in a specific style and keep to that style. Or he does merge at times, too, and we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying about Zappa, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say, well, it sounded like Zappa, but it's just along that style where there's, you know, the tempo changes, the instrumentation, the vocals. It all seemed like, I could see Mother's Invention doing a song similar to that. I guess where I was going with that. So
I can see that. You know, now. And that was definitely a song about New York. When you go out in a bad neighborhood, you're a target, right?
Yeah.
Now, this next song is off of Night and Day 2. And the one thing about this, as I said, songs go into each other. But also on this one, every song is at the same tempo. There's no tempo changes at all. But there's lots of time changes and things like that. So this is interesting.
Yeah.
And this is a lot different. This is called Just Because, and I think this is the first case of musical whiplash that we're putting on our listening audience here. So here we go with Just Because.
All right. Thank you.
my pants in a long. Need some non-alcoholic whiskey and Julian and Sean.
And there you have it, Just Because. And that fugue at the beginning is Shostakovich. He definitely studied, 20th century classical for that. So we go from doing Latino rhythms to this. Now, this dates from 2000. That's quite a leap, don't you think?
Yeah, it's... Well, I was hearing so much world beat in there. I mean, just, different types of jazz was coming out at me. Yeah, Chick Corea, Weather Report. I hate comparing one song to somebody else, but just to give you an idea, where I thought it was going.
That we have to do that to a certain degree. Because you've got to connect it with things you like or things you know so that okay, now maybe I can check into this guy because he does this, I mean, we all do that.
Right.
So that's not a problem. That's exactly what you should do,
Yeah.
But also, I just love the idea, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
That, my friend, is a classic line.
Yes.
That.
Just like I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. So there you go.
Yes, exactly. So that is probably the weirdest we're going to get tonight.
No.
Maybe. No, I see a couple more. Sorry, I spoke too soon.
But that's to me it's not weird. Now you have to realize that there are so many things that I love. I grew up in a classical, I listened to classical music until I was like 7 or 8 because that was all I could listen
right.
to. you know, and you know, to hear all of this from one musician absolutely floors me. I mean, as incredible as Zappa is, I don't see him doing all of this. You know, and particularly doing it.
No, absolutely not.
You know, he does it differently. And I love his blender approach. But this is more like I'm going to study this particular type and I'm going to do it right. Then maybe I'll add a little of this, just a little bit to make it different. You know, and this is what he does. Now, we're going to go on to a song called Cha-Cha Loco. And before we do, I need to talk a little bit about my one time interacting with Joe Jackson. I was working at Carl Fisher, and I was in the retail store. The downstairs was all piano and organ and that sort of thing. Upstairs was the choral band and orchestra. And he came into the store, and he spent a good 45 minutes downstairs picking stuff up. But then he came upstairs to our department, and I actually waited on him. He was looking for jazz charts that specifically had Latin influences, and he wanted to look at the rhythms, and he bought them like about 6 or 7 charts. But I actually, you know, waited on him for like about 20 minutes. So that was kind of cool. So I always, you know, Night and Day was the first album that he did, and that was Target. And this is a little later than that. This is off the album Body and Soul, but this is Cha-Cha Loco. And again, I will mention the name Perez Prado because, again, it takes a lot from Perez, who was a Latin band leader in the 50s. So here we go, Cha-Cha Loco.
Enjoy the food. cha cha lo go cha 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 cha cha.
So, I saw Joe Jackson live once, and it was during this tour, The Body and Soul 1984, and I saw them do that live. Holy shit. Unbelievable. Two things about that. One question, TC, do you think I was chair dancing?
Oh, of course you were. That was the perfect... perfect rhythm and tempo for you to chair dance. And
absolutely.
It was really interesting how he took that Latin beat and added to it. And The lyrics are just weird. You know, join a band, they don't shoot horses.
Yeah.
Did that come out about the time that movie, They Shoot Horses?
No, that movie is 1968. But it is a reference to that film. It's a reference.
I thought
to that
it
film.
Was. Yeah.
You know, two things about that. What about that bass line?
Oh, phenomenal.
Okay, so I want to just talk a little bit about Graham Mabey here, who has been with him, as I said, since 1979. I just want to give you an idea of some of the people that he's worked with. Okay, he's done tons of stuff, including his latest album Full, but he was also with They Might Be Giants. He worked with Natalie Merchant. He worked for Marshall Crenshaw, Ian Hunter, Joan Baez, Regina Spektor. Seriously, this guy is incredible. He's probably, you know, I see names of bassists all the time, you know, list of greatest bassists. This guy is never mentioned. By the way, he also worked with Nina Hagen, which makes me really happy. Seriously, this man is a phenomenal bassist. He really is.
It's insane how he's kind of flown under the radar. You know, I have never heard of him before you started talking about him. Now you tell me everybody he works with, you know, it's just, yeah, the guy runs a nice line. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Joe Jackson gave him, you know, like free rein on the bass? Or did
I would say they worked together, you know. I mean,
right.
there's a great respect that both of them have. The other thing, too, is that Joe does all the arrangements. And that just doesn't mean just what you see or hear on the studio albums. That means any live band, he does the arrangements. And I know he works with Graham quite a bit. Now, there are some albums that Graham is not involved with, particularly the more classical-oriented stuff. But just amazing bassist, and I wanted to bring that out. Okay, so now we're going to go on, and so we were doing a little bit of Latin. Now we're going to go to another country. I'm not going to say what country it is. I better. It's Greece. because the name of the song is Acropolis Now. Check this one out. And again, listen to how authentic it sounds. Okay, hold on. I don't know why that happens occasionally. Here we go. Ah, come on. There we go. Sorry about that. And there you go, Acropolis Now. So how was your trip to Greece, TC?
That was amazing. It really was. Just, I just can't describe it. It's just so different. And really captured the essence of the Greek music, that's for sure. You talk about it.
Yeah, so basically, two of the things that are really interesting about that is the syncopation, and that everybody is playing it in unison. Now, that might sound easy. It's not. It's not. Those guys have to be superb musicians to do what they did in that song. Now, the interesting thing is that comes from an album called Blaze of Glory, okay, which is 1989. Now, for our second case of musical whiplash, we're going to do a song called Rant and Rave from the same album, okay? And I'm just going to go right into this, and we'll talk about it afterwards. This is Rant and Rave from the same album, Joe Jackson. What you just listened to is Acropolis Now. This is Rant and Rave. it goes right into another song after that. So I know this is one of your favorites, TC, so just give me your thoughts on
sure.
it first.
Well, one of the reasons it's one of my favorites, I think of the 14 songs you have tonight, this one
mm-hmm.
showcases everything about Joe Jackson. There's everything about him is in this song. You can pick
yeah.
it out, the arrangement, the instrumentation, the lyrics. If you're going to pick one song to play for somebody, okay, this is Joe Jackson, all of him, that would be it.
Yeah, it's an amazing song. One of the things, I don't want to get too technical, but one of the things that it's the bridge between the two sections and the way that
yeah.
that's worked out, because the first section is in 5/4. Okay. And then that whole middle section, it starts in 5/4, but then the eighth notes are the same. And then it goes into a 3/4. And it's amazing how that smooth that is. I mean, as a composer, as an arranger, that would take me forever to friggin' figure out. Seriously. And I'm not saying he did it
yeah.
in 5 seconds, but it's just amazing. And
you
know, again, we're talking also a different style. We're talking like
right.
40s swing in that very, very much. And we'll get more into that later. Go ahead. I sort of talked over you.
Yeah, well, and on that point about the time signature, I mean, you got to have musicians good enough to do that too. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just not like you could write this and throw it out to anybody and say, okay, here's how this goes. And they're like, whoa, what's this time change? Just do it. You know, and that's where the talent that he surrounded himself with comes into play so much.
Right, and there's your connection to Zappa. There's your connection, because it's about the talent and it's about, you know, getting the people around you that can do the stuff that you want to do, because they are both band leaders.
Right.
Okay. You know,
yep.
And that's the main thing. Now, I'm going to go into a different section right now with Joe.
Okay.
Joe is part of the LGBTQ community. He's bisexual. And he did a song called Real Men, which was about his attraction to men. And he's been very forthright about it. He's written about it in his autobiography. But one of the things that I find very interesting about him is he's not exactly complimentary to the whole of the community. And he points things out that he feels is wrong. And these next two songs have that. This first one comes from Being Crazy, which is 1980. I want this understood. This is 43 years ago. Okay? Listen to the first set of lyrics. It'll blow you the fuck away. Seriously. And this is a song that I have been a big, big thing with me for many, many years. Because I understand it completely. Here we go. This song is called Fit.
Fighting to be girl. the people in your street. Lead a life that's more or less complete. Little problems every day. Little problems go away.
So how angry is that song?
There's Republican heads exploding in Florida right now over that song.
But it's not just about transgender.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about everything.
It is. If you can, as we were listening to it, I was reading along with the lyrics, and yeah. Very, very angry about, you know, I mean, it sums it up, though. It's a perfect
song to sum up,
you know.
Imagine, if you you're me, and in high school, and by college it was fine, but hearing that song, man, that, you know, that became a real, real anthem for me, because I never did fit. To this day, I wouldn't fit in Bradford. You know, and
for different reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, for different reasons. But nonetheless, you know, it's about, you know, square pegs and square holes and round pegs and round, and you know, if you're bigger than that, they'll just put you down. You know, and I mean, Jesus, man. And you wonder why I gravitated toward him. Seriously. With that type of anger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
The next song we're going to do is a much later song called Fairy Dust. And this one, well, I'll tell you what album this is from when we come back. But again, not exactly complimentary. You'll see. And by the way, this has a great piano solo.
Thank you.
I'd say he's still pissed. Of course,
yeah.
That song is about the gay, the whole thing about image in the gay community. And, of course, he doesn't fit that image, so he's pissed off about it.
Sure.
Yeah, that comes from Volume 4. That actually, so the first three albums were his group, Steve Houghton, and I can't remember the guitar player, Larry Carlson. And, of course, Graham Mabey and him. And they broke up in 1980, but in 2003, they reunited and did Volume 4, and that's off of Volume 4, and it's a great album. It's a great album, seriously. So check that one out. Okay, we're going to go back, and at this point, I'm just picking out a couple songs from different albums that you may or may not know. Now, this next one is off... off an album. I'll tell you about it when we're done. But this one I really like because here we actually have him more optimistic. It's kind of unusual for Joe. This is called Man in the Street.
Man in the street, don't care. Why don't you care? When the man in the
Now, that's a song that comes from an album called Big World. And it was recorded live with an audience, but the audience was told not to say anything, just let them play. And that's the last song on the album. The album was a double album, but it only had three sides of music, which is interesting. The fourth side was completely blank and says there is no music on this side. And that particular album is about tourism and how the world perceives Americans. And again, not exactly complimentary, but that particular song is sort of like an anthem that we should all get together and listen to the normal people on the street and what they think instead of thinking for them. And I think that's very appropriate these days. What do you think about that, TC?
Yeah, that song, definitely. I mean, I see the social ramifications of it. That's one of the songs I really like on this playlist. Because I thought rang true. So very good.
And I think that's part of it because this was written in 1986, and any good song, you know, has import to other eras. And I think he's very good with his lyrics and what he says. And I love the album. Now, I got to admit that go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that song is a straight up rock and roll song.
Yeah.
Nothing dynamic as far as, you know, the arrangement or anything like that. And that's, and I can see, especially now that you told me it was written in 1986, the way music was going at that time, it's really kind of a throwback to the 70s.
Yeah. And keep this in mind, this was recorded live. So that choir you hear came in behind the band live and sang that live.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Now, I was just about to say that I actually skipped a couple of songs because I thought I wanted to give people a little break before we really like go into Triple Whiplash. And I'm going to explain this before we listen to it. Okay, this is from an album. The song is called Angel. In parentheses, Lust. This is from an album called Heaven and Hell. It was done for Sony Classic, and it is basically a cantata on the seven deadly sins. And you're going to hear a bunch of people on this. I'll tell you who they are afterwards, but it's pretty impressive. Okay. I should mention that Joe Jackson, we haven't talked about that he's a multi-instrumentalist, you know, piano, accordion, melodica. He does vibraphone. He even plays a little sax here and there on his albums. But I did want to bring that. But this is definitely Triple Whiplash, people. And as you said earlier, TC, yeah, this might be the weirdest one. There's a good chance of that. So this,
very good.
This is Lust, otherwise known as Angel, from Heaven and Hell. And it starts very softly.
The rain on the rhubarb. You wanna go out with me? Yeah, I know we're out. It's like a figure of speech. All you need is a real girl guide. Give it up and come inside. Lift the leash, shake it loose. Bite the peach, suck the juice.
So there you go. That is Lust, otherwise known as Angel from Heaven and Hell. Just to give you an idea of who was on that, that was Suzanne Vega in the spoken part. And also vocalist Don Upshaw did the Latin part. Also on the album and other songs, Brad Roberts from Crash Test Dummies, Jane Silberry, and the violinist that you heard was Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg. So there you go. That is something. That seriously is.
Yes.
That Latin part that you heard, by the way, is a Roman mass written anonymously from the 1600s in Latin. So he incorporated that into that whole thing. And each of these songs are very, very dense in the way that they're put together in this album. It's an amazing album. It's his least seller of all time. And I'm telling you, if you like that, which may, probably only a few of you did, I don't care, listen to the album. And if you do, actually go to YouTube and put in Heaven and Hell, Joe Jackson. There's a set of 7 videos. They did this live. They toured live on this. Seriously.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did your homework, because I asked you this morning who was on that song. And the reason I asked you, and I didn't want to speak out of turn or anything like that, but I thought that was Suzanne Vega speaking.
Yes.
So when you said it was Suzanne Vega, I said, ah, I got that one right. And the only reason is because I heard, just recently, like 2 days ago, that's the last time I worked, yesterday, on the way home, they played that fucking Tom Steiner song, which I absolutely hate, but, you know, I know the voice. And then I heard this today, I was like, I know that Suzanne Vega. So,
Yeah, they've worked together. Bingo. He actually played on a couple of her albums, too. They know each other very well.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that he did some arrangements for her and actually played on some of her stuff for her. So, it's that whole, he really dug into New York City, you know, coming over from the UK. And he really dug into that scene and became, you know, close friends and associates with a lot of the New York City performers.
Mm-hmm. You know,
almost
Silberry also
is
a New Yorker.
Yeah.
You know,
almost to the point that you forget that he's from the UK. Because he's so dug in with New York City. So.
Yeah, he's living in Germany now.
Carl.
That's an interesting thing. He left New York. You know why he left New York? Because of the smoking bans. He is a lifelong smoker, and he's actually written screeds about smokers' rights. Thought you might find that interesting.
So where's he now?
He's in Germany now.
In Germany.
He's in Germany. Go ahead.
You know, there's a Hunter S. Thompson feel about this guy.
Yeah.
There really
I agree.
Is. You know? It's just that feel about him.
But,
where,
you know,
I could have seen him. Go ahead.
With a cigarette with one of the holders. Absolutely. One of the things about him is there is that anger, and it's always been there with him. That's something I really do connect with, because I'm a nice guy, but there's part of me, like, you know, perpetually pissed off, and I get that, and I love that he takes no quarter. And he doesn't. You know, he started out, you know, sort of post-punk. But to me, punk music isn't about the style. It's about the attitude. And Joe Jackson is a punk. He's a punk. beyond belief. You know, and well, I try to live up to that to a certain degree.
Yeah, we've talked before about the difference between UK punk and American punk. Mm-hmm. And how American punk just had zero direction. You know, it's just out there. Whatever the fuck you want to do is almost a free-form thing. Where UK mm-hmm. punk, you know, it was more structured, like you said. You know, and
yeah.
there was meaning behind it. And that's where he fits in quite well.
Yeah, and I connect to the English punk much more. When I was in New York in the 80s, basically, you know, punk was already post-punk, but what we got was a lot of the English slash artists and that sort of thing, Ian Dury, and that sort of attitude. And I always liked that attitude. You know, I do. Anyway, we need to move on here, and we're going to do a song from one of my favorite albums of his called Laughter and Lust. And if you get a chance, take a look at video to this. It is amazing. This is a song called The Obvious Song.
Can you spare that tree? We gotta save this world, starting with your land. Who was a rock and roll millionaire from the USA? Doing 3 to the gallon in a big white car. And he sang and he sang till he polluted the air. And he blew a lot of smoke from a Cuban cigar. And the stars are looking down through a hole in the sky. And they can see they cried. And the walls are coming down to the west and the east. You don't have to be a hippie to believe in peace. That's obvious. It's obvious. Obvious. There was a kid in the city selling crack. Got caught one day with a gun in his hand. When a voice said, okay, get him up in the air. You're too young to live like this, but you ain't too fast to die. Just another foot soldier in a stupid little war. Another sound bite on the American scene. Caught between a supplier on a dream and a money. And the demand of the man with money who needs a little house to dream. So we starve all the teachers and recruit all the Marines. How come we don't even know what that means? And the walls are coming down between the eagle and the dove. You don't have to be a hippie to believe in love. That's obvious. It's obvious. Yeah.
that is such a tight song. Seriously, that is just so put together so well. And by the way, the female voice that you hear on that is Joy Askew, who worked with him on several albums. And she's awesome. She seriously is. So I have a question for you. Who is he talking about?
Yes,
what rock star is he talking about at the beginning of the song? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
It's Sting.
They're friends, remember, weren't they?
No, they were not.
Okay, at all.
No, they weren't. No. No. No, he found Sting very, very sort of like felt he was higher than anyone else. And this whole thing about the Amazon,
yeah.
Sting went down to the Amazon and so on and so forth. No, they were not friends.
Yeah.
And I love that line
Sting
about the drugs,
good.
Too, in this. The,
yeah.
You know, the man who needs a little help to dream, that line. It's just it's just dead
right.
on about the drug. It's such a tight song. And that was a song I knew that was going to be on the playlist right away. There was no way this was not going to be on there.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Well, that was obvious.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
So.
Thanks for the singer in there every once in a while.
Yeah, you got it.
But one point I wanted to make, it seemed like Joe Jackson had no time for phony people like Sting or any of them. And he gravitated towards the more real people, the ones that actually live their music.
I agree. and to be honest, I like Sting's music too. As we all know, I'm more of a Stuart Copeland fan, but so we're going to move on here. And in 2012, Joe Jackson did a tribute album to Duke Ellington. Now, previous, I didn't play any of the stuff from Jump and Jive. I've actually played a couple of tunes on your show and on Rachel's show. So you want to check that out. But if you're talking about sort of a rethinking of a very, very famous song, this is It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. There is a special guest on this particular cut. I won't say who it is until it's done. But this is not your dad's Duke Ellington. Let's just put it that way. Here you go. It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing.
Swing, 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 swing. What good is melody? What good is music if it ain't possessing something sweet?
Absolutely.
It ain't the melody, it ain't the music. There's something else that makes the tune complete.
I'm gonna start this beat again.
Right.
Nah, that's nice. Now all I have to add is this. And we be jamming.
Like this.
That's nice.
What good is melody? What good is music if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the melody, it ain't the music, it's something else that makes the tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing, you got to do it thing. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. You just got to give that rhythm all you got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Vocalist on that was Iggy Pop, of all people. Also, I want to just give a nice little nod to Benny Zimmo, who is the guitarist on there. Benny has worked with Joe a number of times, particularly on his more jazz-oriented albums. Benny also has 12 albums of his own out, and you've got to check him out. He's very good. And by the way, the bassist on that was not Graham Mabey. That was Christian McBride was the basis.
That was my question.
Yeah.
That was my question. Who the hell was on the bass?
Yeah, so that was Christian McBride. Okay, I'm going to just hold on here. He's a jazz bassist, composer, arranger, appeared on more 300 recordings as a sideman, and is an 8-time Grammy Award winner. He's worked with Freddie Hubbard, McCoy Tyner, Herbie Hancock, Pat Metheny, Diana Krall, Roy Haynes, Chick Corea, Wynton Marsalis, Eddie Palmieri. Shall I go on? Because there's another 30 friggin' names.
My head's already spinning from all those. My God, what a talent.
Yeah. What did you think of Benny? I know it's only a short little thing, but he's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a nice little riff, sure.
Yeah.
You know, but I couldn't, that whole time through there, I was just focusing on that bass. And
yeah.
I love that they stayed close to the vest of the Duke Ellington, but added the Joe Jackson touch.
Yep,
Yeah.
Yep. And,
but
and just the sweet song of Iggy Pop, which I find absolutely wonderful. That Iggy is on that.
Yeah.
I think that's great. All right. So you know what? We only have two more songs.
I know. You thought we're gonna be in overtime, but it's moving right along.
I thought we were too. This one I love just because you would never expect Joe Jackson to cover this song. This is a Fleetwood Mac song, but no, this is a Peter Green Fleetwood Mac song that we should know. You should know. And it's called Oh Well. Here we go. There's a live version of that on YouTube, which is a little more Latin and with Sue Hachopoulos featured. Unfortunately, the audio to that is not that good, so we had to go with the studio. But I love that he just did that out of nowhere. I would never expect him to do that.
version of it, Joe Jackson. And the one Tom Petty does are both great.
Right.
And you know, the thing, I always loved that song by Fleetwood Mac, but boy, does it drag out at the end. Just, you know, that's
they were having too many drugs at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, way too many. Way too many. So that was a good cover, though. Excellent cover. You know, like you said, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things is he does a lot of covers. He did The Harder They Come by Jimmy Cliff. He's done covers of XTC.
Wow.
He's done, and XTC has actually done covers of him. They're good friends, him and Andy Partridge. You know, that's the other thing, too. He acknowledges songs and artists that have influenced him or vice versa, you know, co-influenced. And I think that's wonderful. Now, we're going to end up here with one more song. This is from his latest album called Fool, and this is the title track. And I love this song because over 40 years had passed when he put this out. This was 2019. He started with a group called Edward Bear in 1976, but he started recording as himself in 79. This is 40 years later, and he's still pissed. And I think it's wonderful. So here we go. This is Fool from his latest album that's been released. There's a new one coming out, I think, in 2024 he's working on right now. But this is Fool, and I think this is the perfect way to end things because this is where he is now.
Tiny boy,
hey ho, the wind and the rain.
A foolish thing was nothing but a toy.
So when was the last time you heard a song that uses Renaissance music, Arabic influences, and Hispanic influences in one song?
He
never
covered it all. Yeah, definitely.
And it's seamless. It's fucking seamless.
Yeah. Sure. Sure, he goes, you know, how do you replicate that? You know, I mean, he's just...
You don't. That's unique.
It's so unique.
That's unique.
You know, and that just... It shows his talent as an arranger. And again, the, you know, top shelf musicians he gets to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that was Graham
by
the way. That was Graham on the bass.
Okay, I figured it was. I assumed it was. The just incredible. Every song, I mean, you did are such a good, you know, overview of Joe Jackson in 14 songs. That is just incredible. So,
and I could keep going. As I said, it was like 50 songs.
Yeah.
You know, there's
you know, and
a couple of
thing
things. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things I want to bring up is, and you were very specific about this when, you know, we first talked about it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, us promo the album, the show that you aren't going to hear the Joe Jackson songs, you know. But
mm-hmm.
if you were back in, what, probably 82 when Steppin' Out came out?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So everybody goes nuts over Steppin' Out. So you run out and buy, I guess it would be the cassette tape or the vinyl. Well, guess what? You got Target on that. On that album. So if you still have that cassette, you still have that laying around, pull it out again, because there's a lot of phenomenal songs on there, and Target's one of them, which was what, the second song we heard, I believe?
Yes.
So, but the, you know, the other ones that were just popular were, what was it?
Is anybody really going out with him? Cancer was another one. Some Papers. And I love all of them.
Look Sharp.
The
is
first
really
album.
Going out with them are on the same album. Yeah.
Right.
They're on the same album.
Mm-hmm.
But
Got
that's
the Time.
That's the album that got you. That's the album that turned you into a George Jackson fan, right?
Yeah. Look Sharp. And again, it was the attitude. It was the attitude. You had left. It came in like February 79. So it was right at the end of my thing at the radio station at UPB. And I heard that album. And I said, oh, God, are we playing this motherfucker? Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And then the next album was I'm the Man, which was later in 79. And then Beat Crazy came in 80. Those three, we didn't really feature those because those are the ones where the hits are, basically.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we didn't really focus on was his early punk attitude, which maybe I'll do a little bit later. The other thing, too, is he did a lot of film music, but the one is Tucker, which is a great, great Tucker, A Man in His Dream, about the Tucker automobile. That's a great movie, and it's a great soundtrack, but we covered a lot of that 40s style here with what I thought were better songs. Also, he did a soundtrack to Mike's Murder, which basically he did the soundtrack and they rejected it. And they only had a couple songs on the radio for like 30 seconds and featuring the songs of Joe Jackson. And that actually came out as an album called Willpower, which we did not feature either. We didn't feature anything from Fast Forward.
How many studio albums did he have? Has so far.
Yeah, 20 studio albums. He has several live albums also. And the live albums are very interesting because they're songs that you know, but they're delivered in a completely different way. Because each live band that he had, he arranged for that band. You can if you go Joe Jackson Live on YouTube and just you know, oh, here's a song he's doing live, and then finding the same song live again, because it happens a lot. It's a whole different band. It's a whole different arrangement. He does all of that.
A lot of his live stuff are from, like, more intimate venues, you know what I mean? You're not really going to find Joe Jackson live at the Hollywood Bowl, are you? I mean, they're more...
No, but he did a big one in Japan. He's very, very well... You know, the funny thing is, here in the U.S., came out at the same time as Elvis Costello. And Elvis basically... Mm-hmm. And I like Elvis Costello, but Elvis sort of like they were rivals, and Elvis won that battle. Won that battle.
Rival Englishmen coming to the United States and establishing.
Yeah, well, they
themselves.
Were all part of the second British invasion. You know.
Yes. That's correct. That includes the police.
Yep.
I want to go back. Yep, I want to go back real quick to, like you said, his beginnings. Okay, we're reaching more of the hits, but there's a lot of artists that establish themselves with those hits. And that opens the door for them to do more, you know, intricate things or you know more freestyle things. And it gets, you know, it gets the foot in the door of the record companies. Because the record company says, okay, you got to give us 6 albums. Cool. I can do 6 albums. They ain't going to sound like those hits, though. So, yeah, that's...
He didn't do that. That's a good thing.
No.
He had some support at Island Records and that to let him do the things he wanted to do. So Skip Lowenthal was his producer. Early in his career, and Skip really supported him and thought he was fantastic, and thank God for that, because he went into areas nobody else did. And that's what I love about artists. If I take a look at the artists I love, they all done that, every one of them. They started somewhere, and they moved on, and they took things from their past and applied it to new types of music and that, and I love it. I love it. So this was really, really good for me, and I hope that our listeners really appreciate, you know, have a new appreciation of Joe Jackson, because he's not just Is She Really Going Out With Him and Sunday Papers. He's a lot more than that. And hopefully, you know, you'll want to do a little bit of digging, and a lot of that you can do on YouTube, because there's so much out there. And
that's
I
where
would,
every song we had came from, yeah.
Yeah.
All our songs came from YouTube, so they're all out there. Carl, you should post a playlist
on
your Facebook page, and I'll do the same on mine, so that people listen tonight
and
can go to your page or my page. Yeah.
No, I'll do that. I do want to go into just briefly what we're doing here and do a little bit of housekeeping. I will actually be going on a mini vacation next week. So basically, tomorrow we may have a show with Vicky called Intent. I'm not counting on it because Vicky has a really bad case of laryngitis, and she has had something for over a week now. And but we still have that scheduled for tomorrow. For Friday, Catholic Gray Mission and Perens is going to have a nice group together to talk about the films of Alfred Hitchcock. And why don't you talk to us about Sunday and Monday, DC?
Sunday and Monday, we got back-to-back Rock This Town Radio TC on Sunday. We're jumping back in the car. You know, I'm going to do Lithium as my co-pilot, part 2. songs I heard on Sirius XM Lithium, 90s grunge and alternative rock, and the playlist was basically formed right off of what I heard in the car. And Monday is such a special day. It's the first ever Rock This Town Radio at TC that we're going to have a guest, a musical guest. And we're welcoming, I called it Marshmallow Overcoat Monday. We're welcoming Tyler Calkins, who is a founder, songwriter, manager. He does everything. He probably drives the bus. But for Marshmallow Overcoat, a great band from Bradford, Pennsylvania. Tyler picked out 14 songs that we're going to feature. I added one in he doesn't know about yet. And we'll talk to Tyler about the band and where the songs came from. And I'm going to jump ahead a week later, a week from Sunday. We're going to do that again, but this time we're going to have an evening with Jeff Fetterman. And we'll get into that a lot later. But this is a blues guitarist you do not want to miss out on. Another guy from Bradford, a friend of Carl's and I. So we got some exciting stuff coming up on Rock This Town Radio.
Absolutely. And thanks a lot for everything, TC. Thanks for being on and for all the work you do for Deviant Legion. We really appreciate it, man.
It's my pleasure for sure, you know.
Okay,
life
so guess what?
We
did this under 2 hours, and unfortunately we have another 30 seconds. So we need to say goodnight. So let us say goodnight.
I'm up for that.
Give me a call later.
Okay. Hey, thanks for having me on, man. This was a great show.
Not
a
problem.
Lot of fun.
Thank you for listening, folks, and we're going to call this a good night because it was. It was Joe Jackson night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.